All right. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. So, yes, you will not need to be invisible. And I actually noticed that you were on with Anne at her teleclass.
Yeah, yeah. See, like that was a major breakthrough. And I think what it is when my energy shifted, Anne was saying she was going to be doing some more, doing some neat stuff. And then when she approached me about that, I went, this is perfect timing because actually my, I call them my team. We work together beautifully, but we have no formal connection. We've created an e-book on how to get people started in online broadcasting. And then Anne, and that went to, is now all prepared and ready to go. We're creating the marketing materials for it. And then Anne approached me about that, and I went, oh, my gosh, perfect timing.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so the shifting is happening, and, you know, and then getting clear about my previous relationships. Because I got to tell you, for all my years, I was still feeling like a child. Like I hadn't arrived.
That's right.
And, you know, and that was, you know, based on the parental, you know, parameters that I had inflicted on myself that were their issues, not mine.
That's right.
So now I feel more congruent with who I am, and I really, you know, and I thank you for that because that was the missing pieces that I needed to deal with. Now I've dealt with things up to that age. You know, almost to that age, but not at that age. So.
Well, I think, you know, Brenda, I think we get some life lessons,
mm-hmm.
and some things will never go away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it doesn't mean you haven't dealt with it. It just means that, like, there was a new layer up, you know?
Yep.
That could be peeled away.
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess that's how I look at it, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean you're done forever. It's probably going to come right back at you some point in time.
But it's a greater awareness, though. That's the piece. Is once you are aware, like, you know, you can think about these things in your own heart and mind and maybe, you know, deal with them on some certain level. But when you have somebody who is skilled enough to help you face it and deal with it and heal it, like, then that's the piece that makes all the difference in the world because then
yes.
you've shared it, you've dealt with it in a certain way, and like you say, yeah, there'll be other aspects, and that's for sure. I mean, you know, life is a journey of repair.
it is for a lot of us, you know, not for everyone, and hopefully the newer children it's not, but it's good. You know, it's always growth, and it's good. So you feel more complete.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to do today? Your support system's good.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming out in the light more.
Mm-hmm.
Are our books being shipped, do you know?
I haven't seen. Every time I see the, you know, the courier come up and down the street, I think, oh, today's the day. But, you know, I think what did Anne say? We have to get a tracking number when Kira sends it.
Think I didn't put in my W-9. I need to do that.
Oh.
Did you put in your W-9?
No, I don't have, well, of course, with Canada, right? We're a little different, so.
Right. But I think she needs something on paper that says you're an author.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
And I think it's their thing. I was like, why do you need a W-9? She's like, well, we just need to know that you're an author so that when the IRS, when they get an audit,
mm-hmm.
that it shows that they shipped.
Oh, I didn't see anything like that.
A lower prize to authors and not to, you know, like
a
retail store, but not an individual. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So what's W-9? Is that a corporation number or something in the state?
It's an IRS number. It's from the tax. It's a tax. It's just a document you can get online. For you, it shouldn't matter because you're in Canada. I think you should email Kira and ask her.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard from anybody else? Have they got theirs shipped?
No.
Okay. Like it didn't sound like it was imminent. Like it sounded like we had to wait for some kind of shipping numbers. So I would have assumed that they would let us know if there was anything they needed more. Huh.
I agree with you, but I think we did get an email that she needed a W-9.
Okay.
And I reacted to that, but then I never sent in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I never even got that email, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't on that list then.
Well,
you're Canadian.
Probably. Yeah, exactly, because I don't get a W-9 number. I do have my own personal corp. I do have my social insurance number.
Right.
But
might not matter for you.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay.
Oh, well. I hope.
So, yeah.
What we could do maybe is, do you want to do, could you do a meditation into the future?
We could do that.
Let's do that, where we're painting, you know, our ultimate future, because it's in creation, right? Right now. So
absolutely. We can do that.
Why don't we spend time in the future?
Sure.
I'm
the other thing that comes to me kind of is for you to take the shame back you've given to your children, which just how our parents gave it to us, which was completely not intentional, was not even theirs to give, it's all they knew how, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've given it to our children.
Yeah, I mean, probably in a watered-down version, because I never...
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not at all suggesting that you sat there and gave a bunch of shame to your kids, but at some level, right, unconsciously, that's all we knew how to do.
Right, exactly. Well, I know, my mom always criticized me. She says, you don't never put the kids in the playpen. They wouldn't have been so wild. I'm going, they're not wild. They're kids. They're human. They're normal. You know, so... You can see how that transferred, right? Like, I was damaged from it, so I wouldn't do it to them kind of thing. And, of course, playpens were different when our kids were small. And the other thing is about, children being seen and not heard. Well, I let the kids be heard, for sure.
Right. That's good. Oh, that's so funny. So, and that's fine. And then there's some other version of shame that you gave them.
Exactly. Of course.
You know, it's no big deal. We've all done it. I just have done the meditation where I took it back from my kids and they didn't even want to give it back to me. And I was like, yeah, you have to.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because it's the right thing to do, you know, because kids want to help their mom, you know, or their dad.
Yeah.
And just like I willingly took it on from my parents and you willingly took it from your parents.
Yeah. Our kids willingly take it too.
Exactly. So they're like, no, you don't need to take it back. But I found with my own children, it gave it kind of an extra freedom in my relationship with them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I thought that you would like that.
Yeah. No, that's great because you know what? It's just removing the blocks, right? That obligation for sure.
Exactly. So instead of us having to, like, we have to do it with our parents, but I have found that we can do it for our kids and give and make that energy open up for them to be who they are.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know,
that's a beautiful
do you understand?
Gift to your you, kids.
You see what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I don't think we're ever all done with it, but I think it's the intention and the beauty and the love and everything behind it. It creates a little shift.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel it. So let's do that. And then I'll take
perfect.
You somewhere in the future.
Okay. Let's go off to the future. Okay. That sounds beautiful. I love that because, you know, if you can work with the children without being with, you know, actually having to work with the children,
mm-hmm.
oh, my gosh, that's such a beautiful gift.
Yeah. And how many kids do you have? Two, three?
Three.
Three. Yeah. I don't know why I keep forgetting that. So there's three children. So we'll call them in one at a time, right? What are their names?
I'm wondering, too, Saskia, because it is a unique situation, too. My oldest is one of twins, and our one son died.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if we could also include Kenny in this. He's our
son.
Okay, that'd be great.
Of course we can.
Yeah, I think that would be beautiful because Kevin obviously suffered because, you know, not suffered, but also he suffered the loss of his own brother.
Yeah.
you know, and having that intra-utero connection. And Kenny, of course, the first 4 months of Kevin's life was rather tumultuous because we were going between, you know, normal life and hospital life and taking him with us. We always included him. But, you know, that wasn't a great, you know, that was a bumpy start, right?
Right. So that was when you gave birth to twins, and then what happened? One
died after open heart surgery at 4.5 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brenda.
You know, it's something you live your whole, you never, that's something, you know, it's like my husband said too. It was a year and a day from the day my husband broke his neck to the day our son died. And in that time, we had to go through Steve's broken neck and surgery and all the complications of that, being pregnant with twins. And it was the day that Steve broke his neck was at the time when the twins' hearts and lungs were being formed. And them being fraternal twins, Kevin was probably, he was a little larger, so he was probably a little bit advanced because there were two eggs. And Kenny happened to have, at the time of Steve breaking his neck and that whole crisis, and this, you know, stress really does have an impact. Kenny's heart and lungs were being formed and suffered irreparable damage to them. And so as the second son, or twin B, when he was born, his whole life was intensive care unit. We never had a home, and tests and transfusions and trachs and everything to the point. And I remember Kevin saying, or Steve saying, I would have given my life for my son had I known the outcome.
Wow.
Yeah. So I haven't cried on that or thought about that for a while, but that's always, you know, heavy in your heart.
Yeah.
And you know, and then standing there and watching them do CPR on his little body, and then me screaming, stop it, let him be. You know, that's always something that hangs heavy because as a parent, and it's true, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you would give up your life for them if it made a difference for them.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, sorry about that, Saskia.
It's good. No, it's good. I think it's something you will never get over.
Yeah.
The pain might dull, but I don't know how you would ever get over it.
No, you just can't. You know, it's one of the things.
Yeah.
But yet, Kenny being on the other side, even though Kevin grew up feeling half, you know, like he's missing something. And then when they were 15, Kevin had a near-death experience and spent time with his brother on the other side. And was able, while he was on the other side, I was standing there because I was called to the hospital. And, you know, you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and you think your kids are fine, and then 3 o'clock in the morning you get a call. I'm sorry, it's the police. Your son Kevin has been is in hospital with hypothermia and is not expected to live. We need you to come right now.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So what it was he and his friend were downstairs playing pool, and that was when the internet was first in our house, and I didn't know that Kevin had some kind of chat thing set up on MSN, and one of his classmates, a girl who was in a friend, a girl who liked Kevin, I think, and was in a relationship of 15 with somebody else, broke up. And this was between Christmas and New Year's of that year, whatever year it was, I can't remember. Anyway, so she was on chat, and Kevin was on chat with his friend and all this sort of thing. And she had said how she had broken up with her friend and that she was really, you know, upset and needed, you know, wanted some friends to come over, and her brother and sister, who were older, were having a party downstairs, and you know, she felt left out. Her parents have never left her home with her brother and sister. They always took her with her, but she was home. Invited Kevin and his friend to go, and so they left in the freezing rain and walked a mile and a half to this girl's house, because basically she was on the next street over, which was actually a mile and a half. Kevin walked in a sweatshirt in the freezing rain, didn't put a coat on. And they went there, and his friend had a coat on, but they both walked, and got to the house and went in, and this girl then offered them whiskey shooters. And at that point, Kevin hadn't been drinking or anything like that. And so, unknowingly, vodka shooters or something, I don't know. Anyway, and he was drunk and didn't realize it. And when he was ready to leave, instead of turning the right way to come home, turned the wrong way and walked. You know, at that point when he went, there wasn't freezing rain. But when they went, but on the way home, he turned left because he was drunk. The kids in the house weren't paying attention. And he and his friend walked the wrong way, another mile down, and they ended up on the doorstep of an apple orchard house where they sell apples in the basement or the bottom and lived up top. The store was closed. It was, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and Kevin collapsed because of the hypothermia on the front step. And they and the other boy banged and banged and banged and banged. Finally, somebody came downstairs, and there was Kevin, and he and the they thought he was dead. They called the police and the fire and the ambulance and came picked him up. And so then I get this call at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I went over to the hospital because my husband stayed home with our daughter and our other son because, you know, just because somebody had to be there for them. And I'm there, and I remember them leading me over to him, and he's all wrapped in foil and hot IV bags trying to warm him up, and they said, we really don't think he's going to make it. We'll give you some time to be with him. So what I did was I put my hands on his head in the cosmic plug formation for Reiki, and when I did that, I said the prayer, you know, obviously my prayers for Reiki and the all the angels and everybody to be there, and I said, Dear God, thy will be done. And I started to do Reiki, and he started to talk. And he told me he was in the other world. He was telling me, Mom, Mom, I see Kenny. I'm with Kenny. And we're talking to each other without moving our lips.
Mm-hmm.
I see him, you know, and I said, what does he look like? I was starting to ask questions. And he was telling me what Kenny looked like and that Kenny sent love and he described his brother, even though his brother died as a baby, he needed to see his brother as a brother. He could
right.
describe the color of his eyes, the shape of his face, because he had a rounder face than his brother. And the way he wore his hair, spiky just like him. And, you know, and how he wanted to stay. He was so happy. And I said, what's it like? Beyond words, Mom, beyond words. And then he started to describe what he saw and how there was it was so peaceful. He didn't want to come back. And how there was a voice that told him from behind, it was like from behind him, you've got to go home. Your mother needs you. And Kenny told him, too, you can't stay. It's not your time. You have to come home. And then he woke up. And
does he remember that?
I think he does. He does. But he doesn't. We don't talk about it anymore because, you know, it's something that he doesn't, you know, he chooses not to want to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did with him is in the meantime, you know, obviously then I had the doctors come over and check him out. And they said, wow, he's awake. I just said, well, it's a mother's love, right? And they said, well, I guess he can go home. This is amazing. And so he got up and he went home. But I called my Reiki master teacher, and she was going to be in the hospital that day doing her rounds and everything. I said, I told her about the extraordinary event that just happened. And I said, I need to know that he's going to be okay. Can I bring him in to be with you? Can you help him? Because I wanted to make sure, because when teens in particular experience that a near-death experience, oftentimes they commit suicide because they want to go back. And there's high stats on that. And so anyway, she did a, well, actually, she never told me the whole outcome, but she said she did a channeling and channeled Kenny and Kevin together again, because obviously Kenny needed to tell Kevin and Kevin needed to finish the experience of the connection that they had. And so she was able to connect them again. And she told, all she told me was, he'll be okay. So I know that something major happened then. But you see, Kevin went into the armed forces. He has no fear of life. He has no fear of death. He's seen the other side, and he's not worried about where he's going. He's a very strong, he doesn't put up, he's like an indigo child. He doesn't put up with anything. So anyway, that was Kenny's experience with the two of them rebonded, reconnected. But, you know, so I know that the other side is right there for us and is with us. And so, you know, I just love to include Kenny whenever I do any work like this.
Okay. That's good. And it's okay to cry, and it's okay to feel the pain. Because I know there's still some there. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
So there's Kenny, so, James, and Allison.
You just broke up for a minute.
Okay. So the four kids.
Kevin and Kenny, we'll do them together.
Yep. James.
And then Jane.
James.
And
Allison.
Is it, did you say Jane?
James.
Jane, okay. Allison.
Bond.
All right. All right, so let's do that. Let's see how we're doing time. So go shift your body. Get comfortable in your seat. Take a deep breath. And see if you can allow your attention to leave your body as you exhale.
Are you there, Saskia?
Yeah.
Okay. I just put you on speaker.
Okay. All right. Sometimes it's hard to hear just on the speaker. Do you have a headset, Brenda?
This phone doesn't have a headset,
okay.
I'm good.
All right. Okay. So just go ahead and shift your body, get comfortable, take a couple of breaths, however you can relax. Breathing in and out. Letting any tension leave your body. Allowing anything you no longer need to hold on to leave your body. And just allowing the sound of my voice to guide you into a deeper meditation. Continuing to breathe in and out. In a slow rhythm that's relaxing for you. And I am going to count down from 3 to 1. At the count of 1, see yourself in your safe place. 3, breathing gently. 2, going deeper, and 1. And in your mental eyes, see yourself in your safe place, place in nature. Perhaps you see crystals, unicorns, magical creatures or birds, angels, trees. Perhaps there's some water nearby. Just notice what's around you. And notice how you feel. And as you look off over your shoulder, you see a little path and you start to follow it. Follow the path as it winds around and goes up and down and ends up in that beautiful clearing with that old, old tree in the middle of the clearing. And go over to the tree and invite your higher self in to be here with you today. That part that's bigger than you. And let me know when it's there.
There.
Okay. And notice that it's happy, or how your higher self feels to be here with you and you to be here with it. And then ask your higher self to help you give your shame back, to take your shame back from your children today that you might have given them. And then take the stick, there's a long staff or birch stick, and draw a huge circle with the tip on the grass. It will light up. So there's a big circle lit up around you.
Okay.
And then when you're ready, ask Kevin and Kenny to come in with their higher selves. And they will be on the outside of the circle.
Okay.
And tell them how much you love them. Mm-hmm. And that you might have given them some of your shame. That you did not mean to do that, but that was all you knew. And if you can, please have it back. And if they do not want to give it back, talk to their higher selves and say, yes, this is mine. You need to give it back to me because it is the right thing to do. And you might see a color or a stream or muck or however you see it. Just let it all come back to you. Until they're both done.
Okay.
All right, and say thank you. Good. Oh, and if there's anything else you want to say or share with them before they go, you can do that. If not, let them go. And when you're ready, invite Dane in with his higher self.
Okay.
Also outside of the white circle. And tell Dane how much you love him how happy you are to be his mom, and that you have given him some of your shame, because that's all in you, but that now it's time for him to give that shame back to you. And if it doesn't want to, talk to his higher self. And say, I want to take back my shame that is mine. Please give it to me, because it is the right thing to do. And it might look different, it might look the same. Might feel different, might feel similar. It's okay. Good. And again, thank your son for giving you back your shame, for coming here. And notice if there's anything else you want to say to him or his higher self. And when you're ready, let him go. And ask Allison to come in with her higher self. And let her know how much you love her. How happy you are to be her mom. And that quite possibly you gave her some of your shame throughout the years. It's yours and it is not hers to carry. So you're asking for her to give it back to you. And have her higher self help. And if she doesn't want to give it, talk to her higher self. Say, please give it back to me. This is mine. And it is the right thing to do. And again, you might see a color. Stream, feeling. And when you're ready, see if there's anything else you want to share with her and thank Allison and her higher self. And let them go. And just while you're here, invite your mom and your dad in with their higher selves. Let them stay on the other side of the white line. Thank them for coming, and you can let them know how much you love them. But somehow they have given you some of their shame that you had passed on to your children. But now you are ready to give it back to them because it is theirs and not yours. And if they do not want your shame or their shame, you tell them, it is yours and it is not mine to carry. And it is time for you to take it back. and talk to their higher self, letting them know it's the right thing to do. And you might have a stream coming from you that splits and goes to them. It might look dark and sticky, however you see it. Just let it go and give it back. Good. And thank them and their higher selves for coming and taking back their shame. And notice how you feel. You can let the white line disappear. Lean into your higher self for a minute. And feel the love of your higher self. And give your higher self any fears or resistance. And let it know you're ready to co-create your future. With you, your higher self, the higher power, source, God, the angels. Whatever vision works for you. And your higher self takes you by the hand. And together you float. You're not really walking. It's like you're floating just above the ground. You go into the woods. Where it's really dark at some point. You go through the night. Where you cannot even see your hand in front of your face. You go into a deep part of the mountains. Where there's a thick mist. So thick that again you cannot see in front of you. Together you get to the top of a mountain. The mist has cleared. There's still a little crimson red in the sky from the sun that is coming up. White from the new day. And black from where the night was. And on the top of the mountain, there's a gate. And you go through the gate together. And when you look back, you can see the road you have traveled with all the experiences from your past. And when you turn and look forward, you can see you can create anything in your future you want. All the possibilities are in front of you. And notice how it feels. and take one in particular that you really are drawn to. And see the future Brenda there. And she lets you know, it's me. I am you. But I'm a little older. I'm in your future. And everything is even better than you thought it was going to be. And notice how she feels, how she radiates light. And she hands you a gift in a box. And you hand her a gift. And open the box and see what's inside. And maybe it has meaning for you right away, maybe it doesn't. But you say thank you nonetheless. And hold it close to your heart. As your higher self takes you by the hand back through the mist, through the dark woods, all the way back to your safe place, where you still have your gift in your hands. And notice how you feel. And see if there's something you want to say to your higher self. Or it to you. When you're ready, thank your higher self for helping you today. And every day. And I'm going to count from 1 to 3. And you're going to slowly come back to the room. 1, feeling a little lighter. And 2, a little brighter. And taking a breath and gently stretch, move your body, and 3, back into the room, the here and the now. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
That was wonderful. That was a phenomenal experience.
Good.
Very, very good.
That's good. I could feel the shift in your energy.
Mm. Good.
I'm glad. So you can do that anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically will do that with my children.
Mm.
Like, I don't always go into the future, but I periodically will, with my children, will just take back some shame, because even though I'm trying to be aware and conscious and a good mom, I know there's times that I've given shame to them.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. So it's all we've ever learned. It's all we do. And so once in a while, I'll go and I'll just take it back. But I don't want to keep all the shame that's not mine.
No.
So I usually turn around and I give my parents right what is theirs.
That is a phenomenal tool. That in itself is so freeing and so liberating.
Isn't it?
Oh.
I could feel it in you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we actually didn't even need to do the future because it was so freeing for you just to do that.
Oh, that was the icing on the cake.
Good.
You know, there's a phrase that goes, the children bear the shame of the parents. And it's true. And so giving it back and taking it back and just owning it is so important because otherwise we just, it's like diarrhea. It's everywhere. You know what I mean? And
I think it's really empowering.
It is. And that's as parents, that's what we want is our children to be empowered. And yet we still do the shame thing, right? When we feel that they owe us something
You don't know, you know? Like, you don't know. I think you can only do what generation after generation after generation it's been like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our parents didn't know.
No.
It's all they could do. Right? It doesn't mean they didn't love you. It didn't mean you were wrong or bad. It just was all that they knew. And then I think this, to me, this is the new age.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going. You and I and people like us are saying, no, we don't want this for our children. Our children are saying, no.
No.
We're clearing all this gunk out of all the energy.
That's right.
Right?
Right. And you know, what I've noticed too is, and it is true, is the younger generation, our children, they are so quick to, and they see through things so much clearer than we did. You know, they don't fall for the same old paradigms that we created and lived through. And I think sometimes that piece of the shame is that we see them not following things and then we shame them because we did follow, and a piece of us, even though we admire that, still wants them to follow what we did.
Right.
And yet that's the conundrum, is breaking free of all that old stuff and, you know, and still honoring it because it is important. And like you said, they knew no different than either. But yet
that's
we want
right.
our children to have the different life than what we had, and yet we still shame them.
Well, because we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't be mad at yourself. You don't know. That's right. You don't know. You know, it's trial and error, and that is bringing more people into the light. And one of the things my teacher always said that I just loved is, it's like when you tune the piano, when somebody comes to tune the piano,
mm-hmm.
even if you tune one key, the ones next to it already start to sound better.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is with your family. So no matter everything you do, Brenda, it's going to affect your nearest DNA right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's just things like this that are so simple and yet so complicated. I think that really help our kids and ourselves the most.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm excited now because, you know, doing this process, a lot of work we do is for ourselves, you know, to make sense of the life and everything. And like you say, it does affect the next. But this process really does help the next generation and the past generation, like really directly targeted towards removing that shame blame.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why there always is so ever, like, it seems like a lot of things come down to shame. But that's good. So anything else you want to share that came out of the meditation today?
The gift that I got was a light bulb.
That is great.
Yeah. So the future is bright, and I just have to remember that, you know, we're always moving into brightness and lightness and you know, clarity. You know, so that was a beautiful gift.
That's really nice. I like it. Let your light shine. That's what I get.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you so much for letting me do all these sessions on you.
It was wonderful, Saskia. Oh, you are so talented and so gifted in what you do. And whatever I can do to promote you, you know, let me know.
Okay, yeah, once I write this book, maybe over the summer, but I will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will email you a little template. And actually, you know what, Brenda, that's really exciting. I haven't shared it yet on the Inner Chronicle Circle, but I am the new relationship editor at an online magazine called Power Up Living.
Really? Fantastic.
I know. Isn't that great?
Oh, that is so perfect for you.
It's perfect. I'm really psyched. So she's going to, I think we're working on when she's going to introduce me, and I'll do like a weekly blog, weekly post on it.
Oh, nice.
I know. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so thrilled for you. Yeah, you see, just one thing that we do can lead to so many other wonderful things that we do, and in perfect alignment.
We'll see how it all goes. So good luck with your class.
Thank you.
The teleclass. I'm sure you'll be great.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Yeah, and we will keep in touch. So I'll email you a little template.
Okay.
Probably on Friday.
Okay.
Or next week.
That's good.
Yeah, and then there's no rush, but take some time, make some notes, do a little before and after, whatever you come up with that you think is helpful.
Okay.
And then you want me to put the recording back on the page for you so you can grab it, or are you not listening to it?
No, that's fine. That'd be great. If you could do that, that'd be wonderful.
Okay.
I like to keep them because you do sometimes really need to go back to that. So that'd be perfect.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Brenda. Have a lovely day.
Yes, you too, Saskia.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.